Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm so happy you could join us today, the 28th day of May, for our lifestyle article entitled Using Your Downtime Wisely. And as I said yesterday, I have two wise men in our studio with us. Did I say that?
You said potentially, possibly.
No, you said that. I already called you wise. And we're going to take a look at what we talked about yesterday so we can all be on the same page today, so to speak. Same area if you weren't able to join us. This is kind of an interesting article. Downtime just is a period of time when you relax and you don't do any planned activity. And what did you find most interesting about it yesterday, Gordon?
Yeah, hello everyone, this is Gordon. Yesterday I really liked that we learned together that wasting time as opposed to downtime is when you're doing something that isn't meaningful or enjoyable to you. I think this is really important for my own downtime to understand that, just to look at the activity I'm doing and understand whether I'm enjoying it, whether it's meaningful to me, or whether it's just a pointless thing that isn't really making me happy.
Okay. And what about you, Albert?
I like how yesterday they brought up how, from a scientific point of view, there are certain biological processes that occur exclusively during moments of relaxed wakefulness. We talked about how it would help with productivity, problem solving, attention, creativity, and most importantly, resetting your moral compass to make sure that, you know, it's strengthened and you're able to make good decisions for good.
Okay. Yeah. And I just want to introduce the word that none of us have ever used before. They introduced some interesting vocabulary yesterday. We have this Harvard-trained child and adult psychiatrist who introduced the word woo-woo. And if you haven't heard it, none of us have heard it before either. But it is kind of a fun word, and it means that the person is describing ideas that are thought to be irrational. And if you say that you're going to prioritize rest, people look at you like, are you kidding me? And that's kind of like they think you're a little woo-woo.
Because there's a stigma, like we talked about yesterday, about how downtime is something bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so today we're going to continue our discussion of this topic. And if you have your magazine with you, you might want to open it to page 41 to day 28. Or if you have your mobile device with you, maybe you want to find it so you can read along with us. And we are going to do our first reading right now. We hope that you'll follow along, and we'll read through line 18.
We've gotten this idea that we have to be productive every second, says author Rachel Macy Stafford. We've run out of times and places where we can just let our mind wander. Nowhere do we get a chance to just be instead of do. Stafford says she trained herself to build connective silences into her days. I give myself permission to be all there in certain moments, she says. It might be sitting on the floor of my daughter's room while she's picking out her clothes, instead of scurrying around picking up her mess. I'm thinking about how the carpet feels, how my breathing sounds, looking at her face and taking in her freckles.
So, you guys, do you feel like you have to be productive every second?
I do, especially with this new thing that we have in our pockets called the smartphone, because you're always connected, whether it's with work emails or, you know, with friends. You know, they're always asking for updates, or you're always demanding updates. So I feel like, yeah, I feel like I have to be productive every second now.
How about you, Gordon?
I have this this kind of running mental list always in my mind that I sometimes just have to ignore. You know, the task that you have to do, and you're always adding to the list, so the list is never done.
Never.
Maybe you've got to book that train ticket, you've got that letter to respond to, you've got to send that email.
Right.
So I do have to, like, remind myself often just to, okay, I'm going to put down the list, even though it's just an imaginary list, just put it down and be like, I'm not going to attend to one of those items for now. Let's have some downtime.
Okay, so you both are caught up in this Rachel Macy Stafford's suggestion that we have this idea that we have to be productive every second.
Right.
I think we're all a product of our society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a very kind of rat race society where we're running all the time and we feel like we have to produce.
Right. I think one time when we were leaving the office, I happened to commute with Gordon and we were passing by the airport on the MRT and Gordon was like, "I really enjoy this view." And I was thinking usually when I'm commuting now, I'm on my cell phone, making sure I'm updated, catching up with everything, whether it be family, work or whatnot, or typing down a to-do list. And I looked up and I looked at the view and it was really, really amazing. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is true. She also goes on to say that so you don't let your the time or the place let your mind wander.
Mm.
What does that really mean to you if you just let your mind wander?
It means that you lose focus. You're not just thinking through a particular issue. You're just seeing where your thoughts take you. Daydreaming is another is another expression we use to describe someone whose mind is just wandering through the valleys and hills of your mind.
That's very well put. Okay, beat that poet there.
I can't. I have no valleys or hills in my mind.
You know, if they're all flat lines, you're dead, Albert. You do know that. Okay, back to reality here. So if we run out of times and places where we can just let our mind wander, you know, I think this is very interesting. She says, nowhere do we get a chance to just be instead of do. Mm. And everything that we've all been describing here has been, we have to do this. You know, we're doing our list in our mind, or we're doing our updating. We're not just being.
Yeah, I really like this. These are probably the two simplest or most used verbs in the English language, to be mm-hmm. and to do. We use them in all kinds of grammatical forms. And, yeah, we're always doing things, always thinking about doing things. And although we use the verb to be all the time, I wonder whether we actually just let ourselves just be.
Just be. I agree. Do you ever, you don't. You just said you don't.
I don't. And you know what? After hearing that, I feel like I have to throw my cell phone away.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, this is a whole different topic, but my husband and I often talk about when we're out walking and everybody is like glued to their cell phone.
Even, that's me.
Yeah, that there's an addiction involved here. Thought about that? Anyway, that is another topic, but you know, we do need to learn to take control of our lives. So that we can just be instead of always doing. Okay, I think it's kind of interesting that Stafford says that she's trained herself to build connective silences into her days. What is a connective silence?
I feel like it's a time where she's forcing herself. It's like she's putting in the effort to connect with just being silent. Whether it's like from other people or from her mobile device.
You're saying that to yourself, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I think she gives a very picturesque description of what she means by connective silence in the next paragraph.
Yeah, she has this wonderful description of her and her daughter being in the same room, and her daughter is picking out clothes, maybe her daughter's on the way out, and instead of rushing after her, the verb here is scurrying, and trying to control the situation, she chooses to just sit there on the carpet, which is, that's quite unique, isn't it? Just being sat on the carpet, and just breathe, and she's silent, and just kind of observing what's going on rather than trying to control it.
I think I used to do this when my kids were little. You know, I would make myself do that to enjoy them. Mm. And so, because there's so much involved with, you want to, try to keep everything neat and clean, and, you know, scurrying around. Okay, this is a great verb here. Scurry means to move quickly with small, short steps. So you notice the preposition she uses after the word scurry here, scurrying around doing something. But you can also scurry down a hall.
Mm-hmm.
We take this word, I think most often when we think of this word scurry or this verb, you know, a mouse comes to mind.
Mm.
Because usually this is a verb where you see a mouse kind of hidden and kind of going quickly down the side of something, right?
Yeah, the mouse scurried back into its hole.
Right. And so if this is a very picturesque use of this verb to scurry around. Just, you know, you're kind of like in a hurry, trying to get something done or trying to get somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I was his mom, I would totally be doing what she wants to do. It's just like, you know, pick up the clothes, get things done, and move on to the next task. You know, like Gordon mentioned earlier, like, we have this endless to-do list, and, you know, we really have to take a step back, take a breather, and just enjoy the moment instead of just, you know, just moving from moment to moment.
I think it's interesting that she says before this that she's trained herself to do this. So even though, as a parent, this might be a natural reaction for us to, like, pick up after your kids and get it all in order and move on to the next thing, she's trained herself to build in, and this is a connective silence to her.
Mm.
Because she's with her daughter, and she's watching her, and I like the way that she says she's thinking about how the carpet feels, her breathing. She's looking at her daughter's face and taking in her freckles. So she's noticing even, you know, a freckle is kind of a minute detail. You know, for those of you who don't know the difference between freckle and mole, freckles are very often found in Northern Europeans because the sun comes and it's like, can darken like spots on your skin. But a mole is raised and never goes away. Freckles fade during the winter time.
Mm-hmm. Like light dusting on someone's face, I feel like a freckle.
Right, redheads often, they usually have freckles.
Yeah.
So she's looking at the freckles on her daughter's face, and lots of times little kids have them. You know, like when I was younger, I had freckles. You kind of grow out of them. A lot of people do when they get older. But she's like looking at the details of her daughter and enjoying her daughter as well. Those are some of the things you can't do. You know, listening to the sound of your breathing, or, you know, taking in somebody's freckles or looking at somebody's face if you are scurrying about picking up a mess.
Right, and I mean, it just sounds really picturesque. I mean, like, if Gordon came into the office today and was like, you know what, Albert, what I did yesterday, I just took the time to enjoy how the carpet feels in my apartment, I would think he's a little woo-woo.
Well,
it just sounds like you shouldn't be doing this, right? But, I mean, you really do. These small details in life really enrich your day-to-day experience.
Well, let's continue with our reading where we'll find out why she made this decision.
Stafford says she hit a point a few years ago when her life felt like it was spinning out of her control, which prompted her to ask herself some questions. Does the amount of time and attention I currently offer my family indicate that they're a top priority in my life, she recalls? And you could easily substitute, does the time and attention I offer myself indicate that I'm a top priority? And does my current schedule allow time just to simply sit and be with my loved ones, or simply sit and be with myself? When she didn't like the answers, she knew it was time to make some changes.
Right, and the reason she did this, she goes on to say, is that she hit a point, okay? And if you hit a point, it doesn't mean you have a hammer. What happens here if you hit a point?
You've reached, like, a certain chapter in your life, almost. Like, sometimes it should be difficulties or whatnot. You hit a point in your life, like a limit.
Okay, you hit a limit, right. Yeah. Or you come to a limit, and she felt like her life was spinning out of control. And that means what, if something is spinning out of control?
Well, if you're spinning out of control, it's like things like you have nothing that, you know, it's just going out of your hands, they change very quickly, and you're not in the driver's seat anymore.
Oh, that's another idiom. I'm not in the driver's seat anymore. So it means like you're not in control.
Right.
Okay. And here we go back to spinning out of, okay. And you cannot say spin in control, just for our audience, okay?
Yeah.
So have you ever felt like life is spinning out of control?
Yeah, if you have too much going on, like I talked about that list before, when I have like multiple items on the list and there's just too much going on, then I feel life spinning out of control because you just can't get a handle on what you have to do and
right.
and what's going on. So I like that here that Rachel Stafford is telling us to, you have to relax at those points. You have to have to introduce these connective silences if you're going to have any sense of calm.
And then we see she asked herself a couple of questions about this, right?
Does the amount of time and attention I currently offer my family indicate that they're top priority in my life? And I think this is really important to, like, you know, often reassess and ask yourself, like, is what I'm doing in my job important? Or is what I'm doing with my interaction as a friendship or coworkers or family members, is it important? Am I giving them the focus and attention they deserve?
Yeah, I think that's right. We all must have had times when you're trying to talk to someone, a loved one or a colleague, and they're just ignoring you. they're doing their work.
They're probably on their cell phone.
Albert, you're talking about yourself.
I'm probably on my cell phone. I'm sorry, everyone.
maybe they're saying things like, yeah, but they're not really giving you the attention. They're not in the moment. They're doing something else. They're thinking about something else.
Right. That's why I think with little kids, often we say, when we're talking to them, we say, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they might say, I remember this, my daughter once said to me, Mom, look at me when you're talking to me.
Oh, no.
She never, you know, if I was busy in the kitchen, she would come in and ask me something and I would continue doing it. And it's like she was calling me to, you're not paying attention to me.
No, I have to remind myself to look people in the eye. I mean, I think it's because, like, it seems like more socially forgivable now to, you know, multitask.
Right.
Right. Whether it's, again, on the cell phone, and it's, like, acceptable where, like, I have this device in front of me and Gordon will still talk to me. And he knows it's rude, but he's not going to mention that it is rude. And he'll still talk to me and accept it. But I, you know, I'm making a conscious effort to remind myself, like, hey, put down the phone. It's fine. You know, Gordon's here right now in front of me and he's making an effort and he's trying to communicate something and I should listen to him. And I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, with Linda mentioning how, like, you know, she's cooking and, you know, we're not saying she's used to her daughter, but, you know, she, in the moment, she's just, you know, she's focusing on something, but it's fine. You don't have to substitute it out.
Right. And that brings us to this word you could easily substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Does the time and attention I offer myself indicate that I'm a top priority?
Mm.
Now, substitute here, we've had this other question about her family, and now we're substituting or using herself instead of the family. So talking about herself. Right? That's what it means.
Yeah.
I think the thing to be conscious of here is there's a big difference between asking yourself this question and being selfish. Right? Because sometimes we tend to think that people that put themselves as a top priority are being selfish. But remember that she's talking about top priority to rejuvenate.
Right.
Okay, and use her downtime to, you know, restore herself, not that she always has to be the first at everything. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, we just talked about how yesterday, how, like, and I feel like this is a really good idea that you should work on yourself. Always work on yourself first. Love yourself first. And this way you can be able to have the ability to love other people. And also, yesterday we talked about how when you work on yourself, you reset everything, you're strengthening yourself, you're improving yourself, not only on a physical level, but a mental level. And this way, she is able to transfer that onto, you know, her children, her coworkers, and everyone else.
You feel that way too?
Yeah, I like these set of questions to ask, ask oneself. It seems a little bit scary almost to when you're faced with the answers. Like, if we're not spending any time with the people we love or just giving ourselves a chance to rest, what does that say of what we think about ourselves and what we think about them? So, yeah, I can see why asking these questions really, really helped her and hopefully can help us too.
Right, and she goes on to ask herself a couple of more questions, which I think every one of us can ask ourselves. What about our current schedules? Not just being on the MRT and on our cell phone all the time, but what about our current schedule? What does it allow? Do we give ourselves time to simply sit, be by yourself or with your loved ones? I mean, that's also part of this question about prioritizing.
Yeah, if we are so busy these days with work and we have a family and we all do different things, like the kids are at school or after school activities and hobbies and we're at our work, and then we come back, like, how much time are we scheduling in together? I guess people often talk about the the days and the months going by without really realizing that you haven't spent the time with the people you love.
Right, because the more we talk about this, the more I'm coming to the realization that it's actually kind of crazy, because like we're using these mobile devices and to stay connected with people, but we're actually not spending quality time with them. We're not actually, you know, meeting up with them. We're like, oh, I'm sending a message here and there. Be like, how are you? Okay, good. Good to hear your day was this and that, or commenting on Facebook or whatnot. But, I mean, it's like, does my current schedule allow the time to, you know, just, am I prioritizing them? Which is really important, right? Spending quality time with people.
And I think these are hard questions to be honest about.
Hmm.
You know, but remember that you're only asking them of yourself,
yeah.
or about yourself. You're not being, you don't have to give these answers to anybody else. This is helping you to take a look at yourself and your lifestyle, because this is our lifestyle article. What is your lifestyle? Are you building this needed time for rejuvenation into it for yourself?
Yeah.
And really, it's about being a better person.
Yeah, it's something that is probably going to hopefully come up a number of times in your life if you sit down and reflect, like, what's my current lifestyle, like my job's developed, my life has developed, and how am I now scheduling things? I know in certain societies and cultures there are seasons, there are times of the year when people look back and see what's happened, often around New Year in different countries. That's a time when you can say, how did that year go, how do I want the next year to be?
And I really like this line she ends with in this paragraph, which is, when she didn't like the answers, she knew it was time to make some changes. Which reminds me, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm butchering this quote, which is like Steve Jobs was saying, like how every morning when he wakes up, he looks in the mirror and he asks himself, am I happy with the way things are? And when he says no too many times in a row, he goes out and she makes a change about whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah. And that's why I think it takes courage to ask yourself these questions, especially if you're living life like in the fast lane.
Mm.
And you're a few years ago, multitasking was like a big deal, and you had to be able to multitask to be anything.
Right.
But now there's a new mindset or a new thought about multitasking is not so good for us. You know, we need to learn to concentrate, and part of that concentration is on ourselves and on resting.
Mm.
Well, we have our next section we're going to take a look at, No Time for Rest. And if you feel that way, you need to listen to this.
No time for rest. Her patients often tell her they don't have time to build rest into their lives. Kong says, she has a ready answer. I tell people, then you're too busy for optimal health, she says. Too busy to be brilliant, to be the best athlete, to be the best CEO, writer, homemaker, whatever it is you're trying to achieve. Because you need rest to do all of those things.
So we see here in this section, no time for rest. Have you guys ever felt that you don't have time for rest?
Yeah, I know what this means, but mainly from I had this friend back when I was at university who actually got very ill because he was so busy the whole time. He had a viral infection to begin with, and then just kind of having this continuous fatigue, which the doctors were helping him get over.
Right.
And it talks here, like, halfway through the section about being too busy for optimal health. And I always remember him saying that he wanted to get back to being able to do how much he used to be able to do. He said, I used to be able to do all this amount in my week. And everyone just had to say, like, that wasn't healthy to be doing that much. So we can be too busy these days.
That's right. How about you, Robert?
I think it comes down to a good balance of being able to say no. Like, I have to save this for tomorrow or next week. It feels like I could do it, and I could probably do it. But, you know, I remember there was a time when, you know, I would run home to shower so I could get into bed before a certain time. It was just like, I packed so much into a day that it was like, it was ridiculous that I'm running home to get to bed so I can start the day all over again. And I can just imagine, like, if I continue that cycle, I would be like Gordon's friend, which is, it would become unhealthy. It would make a dent in my health.
Right. So notice that she says here, too busy to be brilliant even.
Yeah.
Because you need time to think.
Right.
Yeah. And or to be the best athlete or to be the best CEO, writer, whatever it is that we're working at or trying to do.
Right. So it sounds contradictory. It's like, oh, to be the best CEO or to be the best athlete, I have to take a step back and take time to rest.
Right.
But like, you know, Gordon's mentioned before, you know, we're only human. We're not a machine.
And if we go back to really what we were talking about mostly yesterday was you need that time, your brain needs that time to reset, okay? So you need rest to do all of these things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, and I think that's a challenge in the modern day where there's so much opportunity and so much available to us that we can be doing with our time. And to make your day less busy, to make your lives less busy, probably will involve beginning to say no to a lot of opportunities that maybe you want to take, which means you then have to focus on what it is you really enjoy, what it is that you want to be brilliant at. You can't be brilliant at everything.
Okay, well, I think that this has given us all a lot to think about. How busy really are you? Are you making time for yourself? Are you making yourself a priority and giving yourself time to rest? And remember that rest includes will bring about results like a rested brain and will take you back to your default mode. You know, it becomes activated where you can think again creatively. Well, thank you all for joining us today. I thank my wise friends, my potentially wise friends, is that what I said earlier, for joining me. And we hope that you'll join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.